Well, that's good.
Fancy.
Now, what do you got? Thanks, Fritz. Thanks.
Got 4:31, Mark, whenever you want to get ready.
Let's go.
Can you see the room well enough to see everybody?
Yep. I've got some people on top that are Amy Knoll and Brad Dinsmore and another Amy. So, yeah. So we have how many? One, two, three, four. That would be a quorum, correct? Okay. So I'll call the meeting to order. It was posted on the website, and in accordance with the open meetings law and open records law. And the first item on the agenda would be the minutes, which I believe should have been distributed with the email, with the notice. So I would encourage a motion to move the minutes forward.
I just got one question on the minutes, and it's probably just housekeeping, but number five and number eight, it said Fritz was at the meeting, but in the commissioner's present, he's not. So,
Good
Okay,
question.
that was
Okay.
the last meeting, right?
Right. Yeah, we need to add
Yeah,
Fritz.
I was there.
So we need to add Fritz
Yeah,
to
me.
commissioner's
Good
present.
catch.
Okay, very good. Anything else for the good of the order? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes as amended or as changed.
Motion to
Dave, you have a motion, and Rob, you got a second?
I second.
Okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that passes. Next is the Treasurer's report. Rob?
It's an uneventful treasurer's report because I have the three last statements I brought them with me, and they're kind of staggered. I get like there's two counts, so one will get like two, and then one will only get one, and next time we get two for the next one, one together. So there's been no activity. I've been passing these around if anybody wants to see them. And so the beginning and ending balance on each statement is the same.
Yeah, because those are accounts that don't generate any income
But
from interest. So
the last date on like the one here, the last one for the one account is December 4th to January 6th. So that's about as current as we're going to get, unless I
yeah.
want balance today.
Yep. Okay.
These are current statements for the two different accounts. One has two statements, one has one, and nothing.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
I'll make a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
Luke made a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Dave, second. Any other discussion on the treasurer's report? Hearing none, all in favor of approving?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. Next is public comment. So, anybody either online or at the meeting, have you got something? Yes, Robin.
So I have some food for thought for you guys, and I apologize. I'm going to try to do this in 3 minutes, but I can't guarantee because it's complicated. So if you'll bear with me and cut me off, just cut me off. So I noticed on the agenda that there is a discussion item for the Lake District expansion strategy, and I'm thinking a lot about what that might look like and what it would take to get the boundaries of the Lake District expanded. And it seems to me like that's a pretty overwhelming activity, and I'm not confident that other municipalities or portions of municipalities are going to want to be part of a group that has taxing authority where there's uncertainty. So we recognize the fact that the Lake District has some challenges because there's a lot of misperceptions about what the Lake District should be doing. And so what I asked you to think about is whether or not the Lake District envision itself, and they would re-envision itself as doing what typically you have been doing, which is basically weed cutting navigation channels to have access to greater parts of the lake. But I also suggest that the Lake District could really cut back on their overarching mission. And the mission could be to provide those navigation channels. The mission could also be to determine whether or not they could take over the shoreline lease from the town, and the Lake District could serve as the lessee from the Army Corps of Engineers. And then the Lake District could be responsible for ensuring compliance in terms of inspections and things like that. That it would be maybe a better makeup because the people being impacted by the lease would then also be represented by the Lake District, which I think is important from a transparency perspective. You could also retain your capacity as a government entity to be able to accept and pass through grant money, so we wouldn't lose that opportunity. And also you could establish and perhaps lead what I consider to be a Lake on Alaska Coordinating Committee, which would be comprised of representatives from the county, City of La Crosse, the City of Onalaska, Town of Onalaska, Town of Campbell. Businesses could be involved, federal agencies with the Fish and Wildlife Service and the Army Corps. And then the LORC as well could be sitting on kind of a coordinating committee so that when you're looking at greater, broader management issues of the lake as a whole that are kind of beyond the scope of what the taxing authority is for the Lake District, that you could build that that network through an official government committee, a coordinating committee for Lake on Alaska. And I just wonder if that might be a better way to look at what the Lake District could realistically, you know, what they could be most effective at. And so I just ask that you think about that. I have not done a thorough review of the statutes yet to identify if you can specifically state what your mission is and have it be a little bit less than what the statutory language says you can be. It also would ease from a taxing perspective. If you were to tax folks, perhaps you could provide a small tax during your site and managing the coordinating committee. You could also continue to seek funding from the county and perhaps the city as well for kind of managing the organization. Right now, you have no paid staff, and the taxing issue is a big issue in light of the fact of the decision of the town in terms of the cost for implementing the town. So, yeah, I think a benefit for the shoreline property owners as well as a benefit for the Lake District as a whole, rather than coming to the point of whether you have to discuss whether you should be dissolving. So those are just my thoughts.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So I'm confused kind of because the initial point was you want to expand, but then you want to expand.
I think if we had an ideal world, the district boundaries for the Lake District would be broader than just the shoreline property owners.
Okay.
And so the thought being that you would try to identify some alternative boundaries that would include more people so that when you use your taxing authority to work on large lake projects, it wouldn't be just those 200 property owners.
But
I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that you're going to get any municipality to vote to be part of.
And the only reason that I've been involved with, like, when they had referendums in Pullman for school district things and stuff, just for athletics and whatnot. And part of the issue was the school district didn't want to put a referendum up because they thought they weren't going to pass. Mm-hmm. And our whole, it worked for athletics and the drama club and all these other different things. And I really didn't have any, I wasn't worried about hurting anybody's feelings. I didn't know anybody. I said, generally, if we put a referendum out there and it doesn't pass, nobody has to take the person. If we put a referendum out and people say, yes, we do see value of the lake, that's terrific. Then we have an expanded tax base. But if we never put it out there, if you can word it specifically that this benefits the lake and we're not going to go backwards in our commission we're on right now, I can't see why we wouldn't ask for a referendum for increasing the tax base, which would be all the people that aren't on shoreline.
And I don't disagree, but typically a referendum is for a specific project with a dollar amount. What you're asking folks is to be part of Lake District, subject to whatever tax levy the Lake District wants to add. So there's a difference here where for a referendum with a school board or for other projects that have to go forward, it's like, do the voters approve spending $2 million for a new high school building or a new athletic field, and they can vote on that issue. We're saying, do you want to be part of an expanded Lake District that will have taxing authority forever?
Couldn't we do both? You're included in our taxing authority.
Uh-huh.
And
they would have to approve that.
See, right now,
the taxing authority.
What I'm saying, right now we can't tax it off. We at least get them under our umbrella.
Right.
Then we could put forth projects later.
So
right now we can't even ask people. If we ask them for, because they're not part of Lake District.
We can't tax people.
Correct.
Right.
If we include them, then we could at least have a chance to or give them an opportunity to say yes or no. That's something we think the lake should.
Right. And so I understand what you're saying, and I've gone through that process in my own mind, and I've spoken to local elected officials from various municipalities. There has been no interest in joining the Lake District of the people that I've spoken with, because it is a taxing authority that they would not have control over. The Lake District would have control over it, and they don't seem to be willing to entertain that participation when they would then have a taxing entity that isn't their own municipality. So I'm just trying to be a realist about that.
I'm trying to expand the Lake District so we're not just putting some paths through the lake to bigger things with more tax, bigger tax base.
I totally 100% agree that would be perfect. I'm just suggesting that it's a very huge obstacle to overcome to have vote to be taxed by a separate entity. And so it's a general tax. I mean, it's just the taxing authority. It's not a specific product.
So let me just, further on in this meeting, we've got a item on the agenda that's going to be discussion of the expansion of the strategy. And if we think about this, we have to be very mindful and strategic as to how we would go about that. And I think what Rob has said and what Robin has said are on the money as far as what has to be considered, but it's even more than that. And so we can deal with that, I think, when we get to that particular part of the agenda. This is not going to be easy, and it's going to take more than just Lake District supervisors. We need more from the committee to come together to come up with a strategy to do this.
But
it's going to be a sales job.
I joined because I wanted things to happen. I talked to a lot of people that want things to happen. Status quo people aren't content with, and if we don't try to expand or try to expand as a way, we don't try to provide different solutions for the lake.
Yep.
Cost money, then the people, nobody put me on this board. I just volunteered. But I talked to a lot of people and they asked me, what do you guys do? Can you guys do this? Can you do this? I said, well, it's complicated because we need to have more people involved money-wise. And I think, again, as to use my same argument for the school district, if we put something out there, a referendum of expenditure, or we call it that, and it gets defeated, then we at least try.
So what you have to put out first, though, right, is you have to petition to have those municipalities the boundaries officially changed for those municipalities to be represented by the Lake District. Jefferson.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Public comment, correct, Mark?
Yeah.
Okay. From my understanding, under Wisconsin Statute 33.33, we have two categories. One would be the petition of the landowners, or number two would be a board discussion with the county, where the county board can actually start that process. There would be hearings and everything that goes with it. But there are two processes to expand the Lake District. So I know you're talking referendum. I'm not
talking.
Okay. Because I don't believe that is part of the process. It is, it's basically whoever is in the expanded Lake District property owners or through the county board. So those are the two under Wisconsin statutes. Yeah.
So according to the county board is expanding that distasteful that they don't want to do that? Because I don't know any of them. That's what I'm asking. I know, but not. We would have not in that.
We'd have to look into it and talk.
There's two ways to do it. One is to do the petition route. The other is to do the county board route. And both of those are problematic if you don't put together a good strategy to keep people informed about what this is about and what it's not about. And that's, to me, so that's why I put expansion strategy on the agenda, so that the Lake District commissioners could talk about that. And the input we've gotten from both Robin, I think are very important to that. And there's even other things that we need, a whole host of other things we need to think about.
Okay. I don't want to take more of your time. I just wanted to propose a different way of looking at this, should expansion not occur.
Yeah, and that, we have to consider all of that. It's this is going to be a very important undertaking, and it's going to have to be something that the community knows about and understands before it's going to be successful. So that's a big thing to ask. Anything else under public comment? Okay. One of the things is we, of course, had a commissioner resign, and we need to appoint a new commissioner. And it would be, in my mind, it would be helpful if we have representation from both units of government, the town of Campbell and the town of Onalaska. So it would be, I think, something that we should seek to do is to maybe find somebody from the town of Campbell that would be willing to be a Lake District Commissioner. I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that are. In fact, somebody that might want to be secretary. Would that be okay, Fritz?
That would be fine.
Any thoughts on that as far as how to approach that?
I was wondering, Tom Reddy, had any of your compadres over in French Island interested that you've detected?
I talked to two and they weren't, and then the other two are just partial owners, or partial residents. So that's as far as I got with that. So that was it. So, but I did knock doors. So,
okay. Well, thanks for asking around. Yeah.
Would we want to wait till after the April election for that, Mark?
That's fine. I just want to get this thing moving forward so we knew, yeah.
Get people thinking.
Just to get, I mean, we've got to, we're going to have a lot of balls in the air here, okay? And so it would be a good thing to keep the balls moving.
I think
I also maybe would talk to Connie a little bit and see if she's had any, because I talk to her occasionally, so and see if she has any other thoughts on that matter.
We could send a request to the Town Campbell board right now saying we'd like to get someone in April. From
good
their-
idea. Good idea. How does the board want to proceed on that? Send them a letter telling them there's an open position on the Lake Onalaska district and we're looking for somebody from, we could say it, Town of Campbell, to fill that position.
You say we have a county supervisor on it, we have a Town of Onalaska representative, and we would like
the Town of Campbell. I mean, it's not a representative that's appointed by the Town of Campbell, but it would be somebody from the Town of Campbell that would run for the office.
Yes.
Well, we initially would appoint, but then after their initial term is up, then they would need to run for re-election.
How long a term?
Susie just asked me how long a term, and I'm assuming, Fritz, it would be 3, but we need to make sure.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's the old clerk talking.
Details.
Did he call her old?
He did.
What?
Call her old.
Former is better.
Old clerk in the sense of time, not of age. How's that for a catch?
There's something of flying across.
You can't go old because I know I am.
Okay. I'll put something together, Fritz, and send it to you. Is that from the standpoint of going to the Town of Campbell?
Okay.
All right, good. So the next item on the agenda is expansion strategy. And I've been thinking about this, and I really haven't come up with any, you know, silver bullet for this. And the discussions we had during the public comment are a good example of, you know, how we need to proceed. So I'm wondering how we might put together a group of people, more than just the commissioners, that could examine this and come up with a strategy to expand or include, or what strategy is it that we want to employ? Considering we are constrained somewhat by the statutes that create lake districts. Any thoughts?
Can you state again the only ways we can expand?
Two ways that I understand that you can create addition is either through a citizen petition where you get 51% of the people living in the area that you're talking about to sign the petition that says, yes, we want to be a lake district, or we want to be part of the lake district. Or the other option is to go to the county board, and then they really take the process over and have a hearing, or do a study and have a hearing and then come up with a decision. Those are the two ways that I understand that the process works within the statute. Now, Eric over at Wisconsin Lakes would be a real good resource to use to try to make sure that we fully understand what we're getting into.
Does anyone here have an idea of how the county board would feel about this if they were approaching us? Although it seemed like, I don't want to say insurmountable, but 50% of per people petition is insurmountable.
I think the county board would be fine with it in the respect that The other lake in our county is Lake Neshonoc, and that is the whole city of West Salem contributes to that.
So it's the precedent's already been set.
Right. So it's not just the landowners itself. It's a whole community that's invested in it. In that respect, I think they'd be open to that. My question is, okay, we convinced Town of Onalaska to do it, but Village of Holman says no, City of Onalaska says no. Then the Town of Onalaska's pissed because they were under the impression everybody else was going to be in it. You know, how do you, maybe the county board will determine who's going to be in this. If each municipality has a vote in it and just one of them says they're going to get in it, that's kind of unfair to that group in my mind. So
Dave, and I think that's those are really important points. And that's why I think we need a broader committee with some people that got a little different angle on things as to how this might be something that's good for the lake, good for the future, and good for the people that, you know, are affected by the economic activity that the lake represents. Because that's really what we're talking about, the ecological importance of the lake and the economic importance of the lake are the two things that I think are so very important.
Is all of the Town of Campbell in the Lake District? Or just the lakeshore owners?
Just the lakeshore. Just like it's the same as the Town of Onalaska, just the shoreline.
Okay.
So. And I wasn't around when that all went down. I know I talked to people that, you know, it was quite a public discussion for a long time as to how that's going to go. And so history is something that we need to learn from as far as, but it doesn't mean that the same thing's going to happen again, depending on how you present the benefits and the costs. So, and the big factor is the cost.
A long time ago, because I haven't been here that long, you guys have involved in this forever. Did the lake seem like it was in, I think the lake's in kind of dire conditions right now. Do you think it was that way before?
Actually, when they did the feasibility study for the Lake District, the university, they predicted what was going to happen, what's happened now with the filling and the what I call simplification of the ecosystem. And so that was pretty much part of what was in the feasibility study. So the county board had that feasibility study when they approved doing and establishing a lake district on Lake Onalaska.
Yeah, not only the feasibility study, Mark, that was the reason why the Lake District was formed, because of the perception of eutrophication and sedimentation filling in the mid-1970s. The newspaper articles were very strong about that's why this lake district was created.
But until it happened, everybody's blind eye to it. Now it's happened.
No. People perceived it happening in 1975 compared to what they knew before.
No, I understand.
Then, right then, that's why this was formed. Not looking to the future. It was for right then. And the feasibility study was what can we do about it? And you know how much longer? Where is it going to go? So there is a history section on the Lake Onalaska website, and the minutes from 1975, 76, and 77 are in there. So if you want to look at the few meetings and the records about how it was formed, so those formation articles and the first few years are there. If you want to delve into how things worked,
and if you really want to dig in, there are volumes of correspondence that went back and forth between the Lake District and other units of government, the newspapers, individuals, that really dug down deep into what's happening and why we need to fix it. Or there was an issue maybe that this doesn't fix it. Why are we messing with it? So it was a good time for people that could write letters. And it was good for the public because they could see the letters and read them. So what I see happening today sometimes is that there isn't enough time in the day to look at everything you need to look at to figure out what's going on.
Mark, could I interject as a public? I don't want to disrupt because I'm not a member of the group, but I was just going to clarify the county board process for establishing.
Sure.
Are you okay with opening the floor to
the public? Do I have a motion to open the floor?
I'll make a motion to open the floor.
Second. And that was Dave?
This is Luke.
I'm sorry. Okay, so Luke and Rob. All right.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the statute says that a county board may establish a district, but before a district that includes any portion of a city or village may be formed under the authority of this section, in other words, under county authority, the city council or village board must have previously approved the inclusion of its territory within the boundaries of the proposed district. So just want to be clear that the county can do this, but still have to have action taken by the governing bodies. Yes, exactly. So just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
So that's one way. The other way is if citizens went out and get 51% petition, then the county can act on its own.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts regarding a committee to explore a strategy to expand, improve, fund, all of those things? So that we can have some idea that the future of the lake is going to be somehow affected.
Some sort of a Save Lake on Alaska campaign of some kind.
Okay.
You know, to get so involved. You know, I mean, I think people don't know.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people don't know what's going on. So we got to.
So do we have a couple of supervisors that might want to sit down, work on this, and come up with a strategy to put together a community effort to address this issue, including a campaign to get the word out to the public that that's going on?
I'll do it later. All right. Yeah, you got a blog, and we do. We work with a lot of people on the blog. Anything to help?
I agree with the campaign part, but does the campaign carry any weight, or should we just go directly to the board and talk to them?
The board? You mean the county board?
Yeah, exactly.
I think the committee was going to be. Mark, is it okay if I talk? Is it still open to the public?
We haven't closed it.
Yeah. Okay.
We haven't closed it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
From my understanding, Rob, this is to form a committee to make some of those decisions on what processes, what area, territories. So it's a committee that will come back to report to this committee before they do anything.
Okay.
So it's not taking them
not approaching the board.
It's basically coming up with a plan.
We want to put the best foot forward, and so we have to know what is the best foot. And then we need agreement among everybody that that's what we want to do before we do anything. Or at least some level of agreement that we have to do something.
So, Mark, just a heads up for everybody. The Zoom is saying less than 1 minute. It's not giving me seconds that we'll have to refresh.
I'm okay.
You can do it gracefully.
Well, that's fine.
We may have to take a little bit of a recess if not.
Okay, so on my end, I just wait for, and then have to re-enter?
I think I'll text.
We'd be asking them for a 3-year, I believe. It's just we're pointing for the remaining term that Connie was serving.
Yeah, 1.75 or fall of 2027, that position would go up for election.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it would be a 3-year term, we think.
Yeah.
We have to make sure. We don't want to get in the bundle we were in before. So, okay. Anything more on the expansion strategy? We heard Luke say that he would have time to sit on that committee. Maybe I would be willing to do that. Anybody else?
Mark, or I could periodically, if you wanted some help. I can't guarantee constant because my schedule varies, but. Yeah. If you wanted me to sit in, I'd try to do that.
I think having citizen members would be really important. Just simply to get a different perspective on things and to broaden the understanding. So, I think the first meeting of that, I'm just thinking out loud here. I'll be back March 7th. So we'll look at that. I think it should be everybody in person on the first meeting. Does anybody have any other thoughts on that?
Good idea.
Okay. All right. All right. Next item is anything more on the expansion strategy? Okay. And the next time it'll probably be the expansion committee, not the strategy, the committee. Next is the DREAD project. And I think that, and Jeff, you can add in here anything that you know that I don't know, which is usually something, with respect to they're looking at doing the DREAD project in June. And that would be finished before the end of the summer, as I understand the plan.
Yeah, our permit is up, so we need to make sure we get it done. So yeah, the plan, I think it's up in October. So the plan is to move forward. We're about $100,000 short on our project, so we'll be doing some major fundraising in the next couple of months on that. But we feel pretty confident that we can get that out there. I have a blog that's going to be released on Friday. I think I sent it to a couple of the LORC members just for review, but basically, there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what the DREAD project all entails. I think it's for two businesses, which is not accurate. So we're going to clear up some of those misconceptions and talk about how this will be a nice plan moving forward as we start to work with the government agencies. We've already had some really good meetings so far with Fish and Wildlife, Department of Natural Resources, both Wisconsin and Minnesota, Army Corps of Engineers. So we've got some good strategies moving forward for future DREAD projects, but this one here is kind of the template as we move forward as far as how we're going to approach these lake projects with a combined effort between private and public or federal.
So thanks, Jeff.
I want to make a comment. I think it would be a good idea to have some kind of display at the Bryce Perry Fishing Derby, because then you're targeting the people who actually use the lake, and they should be more interested in keeping the good fish habitat. But that would be a captive audience that should donate.
You've got a great mind, you think like me. We already got a big banner that would go up. Cool. That's got a QR code where people can donate, and it talks a lot about it. We'll probably staff it as well. But
great.
Plan on being there.
So my other thought on this was that hopefully LORC and BPCA would both have a member that might want to be on the committee looking at getting a solution for the problems of Lake Onalaska. And that's how I'd like to put it. It's not just expanding, it's getting a solution for solving Lake Onalaska's problems.
Yeah, I volunteered with Luke Park, so I'm in. I think we need a bigger committee, but I'm definitely in. Just let me know when. I'll be on vacation sometime after you get back. So if you come back on the 7th, we could probably have a meeting on the 8th, but I think I leave on the 9th.
Okay.
That's a Sunday.
I got a vacation coming too.
So this is a offshoot of the Lake District, I think. Or maybe we don't want it that way. I don't know. But I think it is, which therefore we have to follow the open meetings, open records law. So having a meeting is going to take a little longer to set up once I get back.
Only if you have a quorum of the Lake District members will you need to have an open meeting. You can assign a committee to work on stuff.
You're not going to make any rules, so you just
come up with them. You're just coming up with strategies and ideas, so you wouldn't necessarily need it unless you had more members, a quorum from the Lake District on this.
Two of us plus, the normal one, two.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. Oh, come on, my agenda.
I just want to show you that date.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're looking at the end of the summer for the completion of the dredge project. Then, next is for the Lake District is funding sources, and I think that can be kind of rolled into the whole committee looking at solving the Lake on Alaska problems, expansion study strategy. Because every time you turn around, it seems like you want to do something, but what prevents us from doing something is not having the money to do it or the money to match other people's money to do it, either grants or foundations or whatever. So I think we're going to eventually have to get into establishing some predictable and dependable sources of funding for a budget for each year. And I will be sending the units of government that we have sent in the past a letter asking for donations for the weed cutting program. And I think we should get that done probably either this late winter or early spring, because their budget process, the letter didn't line up very good with the budget process the last time because of when we had our annual meeting. So, and we have an annual meeting already set for this coming year. And it's in September, right? Fritz, do you remember?
I think we're on the regular calendar before September 6th, if I remember right.
Yep. Okay, anything else on funding sources? Somebody got a deep pocket? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, a couple things. With the county, they approved $10,000 for this year, only if we have our tax district in place. So yeah, we have to have a tax district just for the shoreline members and a tax implemented for them to give us the $10,000.
Right.
And then also I talked to the town of Campbell and Onalaska and the county, and they seem to all like the idea of a three-year commitment where they don't have to revisit it every year.
Great.
We don't have to beg for them every year, so keep that in mind when you're requesting these.
Okay, we'd probably have to remind them every year.
Well, yeah, but
sort of informal.
We're expecting, make sure it's in their budget. Just put a reminder in there that you committed for that.
So you're asking to change the letter to ask them for a commitment to 3 years.
That's just my recommendation. And I think it was brought up at the last meeting. I don't know if it was you, Rob, that mentioned it. We're asking for like $2,000-$3,000 a year why not 5 or 6 a year? You know, that's something that's going to have to be discussed with the group.
We'll have a discussion about that before the letter goes out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because right now, both of our accounts are in the $9,000 range. That's not sustainable for next year.
Right. Tom.
Next year's annual meeting is September 16th.
16th? Okay. Thanks. Tom, did you have something?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw something out. I talked to a couple people, and I don't know how you guys think about user fees for things, but in my travel world, that's all I do is pay user fees. You know, it's they're getting everybody what they're looking out their rearview mirrors. I mean, a classic example, it's a lot of the hotels. I do a lot of conventions in other cities. I set them up. The hotel group is hitting us about 2.5% of the room rate. Airports, you know, we'll do a project with, you know, bringing 3,000 or 4,000 people or 5,000. That's nothing to write a check out to an airport for $17,000 for the week. You know, and that's going on. I mean, we've got all these landings, or, you know, it's not the, it's the people. I mean, I'm paying them through the, for all the customers. We got all these guys coming in from everywhere else that don't live here. Let's get into their pocketbooks. I mean, they'll pay it. You know, I don't know if we can go to the landings or the county boards to ask them to have assessments, or the, you know, the convention bureau, the rules, they get money from that. They don't give any of it up to help get rid of the weeds. They don't care about that. You know,
but wasn't part of the issue with doing fees at our boat landings is they're not really our boat landings because they're the cores.
I don't know whose they are. That's a good question.
That just came up with one of the last meetings,
yeah.
Right. So I don't know what the actual.
So they're on core land, but they're, in the case of the town of Onalaska, it's through a lease that the town has from the Corps. So, and the town put dollars in as well as the state and the Lake District and everybody. It was a joint venture, sort of. It's the town's responsibility as it sits right now.
But wasn't there something that just negated any possibility of doing fees? Because I thought that was... We brought it up.
It depends on the source of the funding that established the boat landing, and there are certain state grant programs that don't allow to be charged if the project was funded through those things. I don't know the details of the boat landings here, but it's something
you need. That's a good comment that you made. I understand that.
Yeah.
Too, but
so you'd have to find out what grant sources.
I only brought it up because I thought before it had already been... Kiboshed.
Yeah, I don't. I was just, you know, kicking it around, and just from the things that I've had, Ken, it's like,
you know, I 100% agree with
you. I see a parking lot packed full of boats, and there's any of them got a Wisconsin license plate on
it's on
the
future radar.
Okay, I mean, that's good, but I just wanted to, you know, bring it up so that I mean to know that, because I don't know what you guys are doing. Right.
Right now, I think the town of Campbell charges a fee. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean. And, for us, yeah, you pay your $25 or whatever it is, which is very
So the town of Onalaska has had some somewhat unsuccessful donation boxes up, and they've got a new effort at that's trying to establish those donation boxes to be a little bit more successful. So Luke, is there anything new on those donation boxes?
So the donation boxes have been put out, I believe, out in each landing. We hesitated from this, I would call it the south landing, everyone else would call it the north landing, but just me, because we kept getting dog shit and everything but donations in it. The other one has been, I'm not going to say profitable, but there's been money donated, you know, something like 300 total. 219 another year total. I mean, there are some donations coming in. We're working on it. We've got better boxes now that are there. We're putting up better signage.
Yeah. So.
Does it have to be a donation? It can't be a landing fee?
That's what I'm getting at. Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
The problem, I think, when I was on the town board, we were trying to figure out that, and City of La Crosse has their own police department. Town of Campbell has their own police department. We have the county, and they have no interest in enforcing this. And so how do you collect it from somebody that doesn't want to pay is the issue. We have
no teeth.
And I know I've been in like Chippewa Falls, and there they've got a person sitting in the booth all day long collecting money. Well, if you want to donate your time doing that, I don't know who would do that, but
well, who lets them advocate the tournament in the town? Who, you know, I mean, is it just say, come on to here and fill our parking lot up?
We could potentially put them there, and
you know,
they don't. They're not going to be chasing
down. Oh, I know that part. I mean, when they put their registration in,
sure.
To the you know, whoever, somebody's got to let them have a tournament, or can you just have a tournament in town? I don't. I don't pass this.
Well, you need a permit for the tournament.
I mean, that. What's that, Mark?
You need a permit from DNR for the tournament.
But I mean, if you ask, like I said, I just got to pay it. You know, it's like, boom. They don't even, you know, they don't care if you bring 10,000 people.
When I put my boat in here by Perkins, I pay every time, and the cop is there going through the parking lot every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's no joke.
That's okay, you know. But I'm just saying, when the out-of-towners come in, like I said, I'm so used to just paying those fees that.
Good idea.
Yeah, but I don't know if we can do it. But it's just everywhere we do it. So
if there's a landing fee, then it sounds crazy. But if we get half the fee and the ticket fee and the police department gets the other half, then.
That's what I mean.
I bet they'll have some incentive.
That's a great idea. I didn't even think part two of that, but yeah.
Sucks. I mean, they'll have incentive just for their budget.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way of the world. We're not, I mean, we can call it a fee or we can call it a tax for people that aren't in our district.
I just wrote the checks, you know, because you had to. It's just part of life. It just, when you're from the out-of-towners, it just happens.
Well, City of La Crosse, you get charged more if you're out of the city resident.
Yeah, I knew they did. Yeah, right. I know that. Yeah.
But that's electronic. Yeah. Everything is something like that there.
I have one other item that's somewhat related to this, and that is Fisherman's Road Landing. And the town of Campbell was involved in providing some of that facility, and they have backed out of that because it's the City of La Crosse that owns the land that's adjacent to the core land. And the city said, we want no more interest in that. And Kevin from the core had called me and said, we're looking for somebody to take over that outgrant to manage it. And I said, good luck. If the City of La Crosse doesn't want to do it and the town of Campbell doesn't want to do it, I said, the Lake District certainly doesn't have any money to do that. And so it may be that when this becomes public, because it's not really public, that there could be some very unhappy people that put their boat in or walk out and ice fish there. I'm not aware. I'm not aware what the arrangement was as far as fees there, okay? But both the town of Campbell and the city of Unalaska have fees at the landing, so I don't know who was doing that. But I know now that the town of Campbell has backed out of that and they're no longer involved. So I only bring that up because it's a access to Lake Unalaska, and what's the top priority of people that use Lake Unalaska? They want access. So it's not consistent with what I call a good public policy, which is to provide the public the opportunity to use the public resource. Anything more on funding sources? Okay. Summer events. What? We've done a number of events in the summers. We've done pontoon tours. We've done a open public opportunity at either Red Pines or over on French Island for the Lake District members and others to come and just talk about Lake Onalaska and the kinds of things that need to be accomplished or the problems that need to be solved. So I'm looking at what events should we commit to doing this summer? The social, pontoon tour, any other event that might raise the awareness of the needs of Lake Onalaska.
Do we do anything at the Rock in the Prairie event? I've never attended the event, but I've driven by. I mean, do we do any kind of, I suppose that's for fundraising for the year.
But there's a lot of people that go to it. If you want to ask for fundraising,
for informational,
put up a little 4x4 booth and say, hey, ask us questions.
Yeah,
or I can stand there for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. That's probably what it's going to take.
Yeah.
And more.
I'm just thinking of any, you know, any.
You might actually get to smooth some ruffled feathers from people that don't really know what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That was a good idea.
Well, everybody's looking for a chance to talk, you know, I mean, so it gives a chance, you know, everybody's out socially and social and, good time to teach, educate.
Mark, another event that will be happening is, it sounds like there's that dredge project is going to be moving forward. So that may be an opportunity for a show and tell, you know, as they're mobilizing or maybe early on where they're still fundraising.
Yeah, we'd have to coordinate with Lork on that. But
yeah, but there may be an opportunity for, you know, just come see what we're doing. Yeah, I agree. It's more of a Lork thing, but right there at Red Pines, so it could be the social.
So also on August 15th is the meeting of the Mississippi River Committee of the Wisconsin Conservation Congress, and they'll be at the Fish and Wildlife Service Visitor Center. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump over to the dredge project, and then also there's the invasive species project that's going on out on Rosebud Island. So we're discussing having a tour of the members of that meeting. So we're trying to get the word out, people up and down the river.
We could do a tour of that Rosebud Island invasive species removal. It takes a little bit hardier person because you can't get big pontoon boats heavily loaded close to shore, but you can get some boats there. And just as a reminder, there's a couple of work days coming up this spring where Andy Meyer from the Corps is looking for more help. EVCA and Lork and Isaac Walton League have been pitching in. But the fruits of our labors would be more visible next summer. And one of the things it's going to do is clear out the understory. So if you went ashore at that the Boy Scout camp area, there's a place you could do explanation of floodplain forest and what's going on there.
Yeah, I talked to Andy today for him to do a presentation for the Mississippi River Committee, the Conservation Congress. And he said, yeah, any opportunity where we'd have would be something that he'd be willing to participate in. So certainly I think he'd be more than willing, schedule permitting, that he'd want to be part of that. So I think all of these sort of public events, we need to keep everything out before there. Maybe get some information in the bait shops. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can cause this to become more public knowledge.
I'll toss up one other thing that's actually not happening this year, and it's not a particularly It's not like a wildlife use of the lake, but when the Deke Slayton Air Fest happens, it's a big deal on the lake. There's a lot of boats that go out for it. It happened in 2024. It doesn't look like it's happening this year, but it would happen in 2027. So I don't know if there's any way we can have a raise lake awareness in conjunction with that, because there's a lot of boat traffic on the lake that day.
Yep.
So not for this summer, but for next one. And it would be, it's scheduled for June 19th and 20th. So it's before the vegetation gets really thick, which is kind of handy.
We hope it's before the vegetation gets really thick.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
Another thing could be the boat show that's at the La Crosse Center.
Yeah.
I think that's middle of February this year. But either piggyback with an agency or something, or ask them if you could have a free booth somehow.
So Explore La Crosse actually donates to our weed cutting. And we've worked with them on this last fall on a Sustain Our Rivers event. So I think it might be a good idea for them to have something in the way of representation on the committee we're talking about to solve Lake Onalaska's problems. Because they're interested. They understand where the money's coming from. And if we lose the resource, that won't be available anymore. So we probably should go through on the committee and make a list of all those opportunities to get the word out. The Dredge Project, they put some money into some banners, and those have been hauled around to different places. So that's an opportunity also. And that would be good for the Rock in the Prairie.
Yep. I was going to say we could ask Jeff to use those banners.
Yep.
From the Dredge Project.
Yep.
I wrote all of them down here, all their ideas. So.
But we also want to focus on the Dredge Project is one solution to all the problems that the Lake District's facing, and not the Lake District, but the Lake. And these are what the Lake District are working on. Anything else on summer events? Because I know we're not going to have any winter events. It's too cold. Except ice fishing. Did you see that there's one ice fishing contest that was canceled for this weekend because it's too cold?
We're under our 10 minutes, so.
Okay.
We're moving.
Agency reports, Tim.
I'll be brief as I can be. Probably the big updates, we have, I don't know how big it is, but the director's order for doing an evaluation of the National Wildlife Refuge System and the National Hatchery System. So that's been ordered. We had surveys that came out to all the employees that we were able to fill out, and now they're reaching out to partners. And they're doing that through our friends organization. So they had those network. I think there's probably some complications with how many, all the regulations with surveys that go out and how many people they can go to. I think there's probably some limits on that, but there is an external survey that went out to our friends organization. And I did ask Catherine, she can share that with whoever or that. And so, I asked her to share it with the Lake District because you guys can fill it out because you're a partner, and I think it's valuable information. I'm not sure what's in the questionnaire, but a lot of ours was how are things functioning, all different types of things like that. So it would be valuable to have that. And if you do get that and you get a chance to fill it out, I think it's through like February, somewhere in there.
So we need to contact Katie, or can she send it to us? Or
we can't send it. I would contact Catherine with Friends.
Friends, okay.
Yep.
Right.
They're the ones that got it here locally. Yeah. And I believe from everything I hear, they can share it externally. So
she has to go looking for it.
Maybe. I think they had, I do know they sent it out to certain partners too.
Mm-hmm.
I heard like Ducks Unlimited, some of those partnerships too. So, we do have priorities. Access is one of the priorities, you know, public hunting, fishing access. That is a priority of the administration, and our director, working with states, and partnership, partnering with states and tribal, units is another priority. I kind of look at that as community. So the work that we do with the Lake District and other local partners, is a big part of that as well. So, currently we're within, the region, we're working on hunt fish opening packages, that we have, some deadlines on. We had folks even during the shutdown working on those plans, to meet those deadlines. So essentially areas that are, really doesn't affect Upper Miss because we're open to virtually, you know, everything hunting, fishing wise. But a lot of their national wildlife refuges, if they acquire land, they may be closed until they do an opening package for it. It's also meant to align, regulations with the state. So examples of that would be maybe, we had regulations that had it open to certain species that the state had it open to other species. So it's to align those regulations with each other. It makes a lot of sense. It makes enforcement a lot easier, those sort of things. So no major changes for Upper Miss on that. I think probably the closest ones are like Trempealeau National Wildlife Refuge has a little bit, but again, that's just the alignment on species. For that, I think theirs might have been missing like coot in the underwater fowl. So it's just adding things like that. So pretty simple. We're doing the hiring process right now for our seasonals. We are allowed to hire seasonals, which is awesome. It's our big part of our workforce. We are combining a lot of resources on the river like we did last year. We're having a meeting tomorrow where we bring our annual work plans together with the other districts, and then we see where things align, and it's been working very well. We'll like to use a team approach to go and do like forest inventory. Like we'll have a goal of doing 100 points in a certain area. And if we pool the resources from the other districts and people, then we can go in and do a lot of work, quicker, and get the high priority projects done. So that's good, good news. And we're moving forward on a few selections on that. You know, big things coming up this spring we're trying to get prepared for. We were unable to do some of the plantings that were planned because we had the trees ordered, they were ready, but you don't want to put them in the ground. You know, usually that's in the October timeframe, and we were shut down for a month and a half. So, and that occurred once we did open back up, the ground was too frozen to get some of that. Minnesota or Audubon, that operates out of our office, they were able to get some trees in the ground over on the Minnesota side. So we have planting projects planned for this spring, and hopefully we can get those in the ground and going. I do hope to get another meeting scheduled for the Lake Alaska agency team. I've drafted up some of the notes, but we're just trying to get caught up from all the stuff that it hasn't been done and we're trying to do. So hopefully get another meeting on the plate for that. I think the first one was very productive. Just getting everybody working together. And our next strategy for that meeting is going to be to try and look at what are the obstacles that we have, like as agencies working together. And trying to see how we can best navigate those obstacles, because like, and I'll use the example, if we come up a lot, we'll, you know, put dredge placement on, you know, core land or something like that. Well, there's a whole bunch of things that come into that where we can't do that. I mean, other agencies run into a lot of issues with that. So being frank with all of those, having discussions and seeing where we can create some efficiencies in making that stuff work together. So that's it for me, and we're open over there. Come see us.
Cool.
Thanks, Tim. Anything else? I started thinking a little bit about who benefits from a healthy river and who shows up at the boat landings, and bass tournaments kind of hit me right in the face. And that there seems to be at least one big one every year. And I was thinking of going down and seeing Explore Lacrosse and say, how can we get them to be a contributing partner? Because that hasn't happened in the past that I know of.
Mark, we're under 1 minute. Do you want to rejoin?
I'm done.
Okay.
next meeting?
I just make a comment, though, to correct you guys. Any committee or group of this organization is subject to open meetings records or open meetings law. So yes, you will have to public notice the committee meeting.
Anything else?
Meeting.
I'm always
in March. Too late. You want one in February?
Doesn't matter to me.
When were you thinking in March, Mark?
Well, I get back on the 7th of March. So a couple, you know, within that week, the next week.
On like a Thursday the 10th, or no, that's not the 12th.
12th.
Be a Thursday.
I'd be okay 12th. For that.
Yeah, I'm gone for what it's worth through the 12th, so this meeting space would not be available till after the 12th. But I mean, I can do it Zoom if you find a space to do it.
Well, what about the 13th?
It's a Friday.
Is that too soon?
It's a Friday.
The next week?
Next week's good. 18th?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are good for me that week.
17th, 18th, 19th?
Not the 19th for me.
18th?
18th. How about picking that, guys?
It's after St. Patrick's Day. We know we're green.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
For weed cutting. I will be recovering from my 60th birthday on the 17th.
Well, the 18th. How's that?
18th?
Let's go. Let's do it, Mark.
What time, Mark?
4:30.
Okay. And we should be able to do it here. Yeah, as far as I know, we can be here if you want.
We always can fall back on Briceberry Conservation Association, but this is a much better facility.
And it has Zoom.
And it has Zoom.
So logs on the wall.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. It's kind of a little cozy place, isn't it?
Does that solve it? Then I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Have a motion?
Second.
Rob and Tom.
Bob and Tom.
Word up.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Don't worry.
Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, enjoy your 60 below.